It often takes more than a help wanted sign to get people back into the labor force. I'm David Brancaccio, coming off news that the price of existing homes went up 23% in the year through May, the most ever with records going back to 1999. The typical or median house is now above $350,000. While that's significant, annual rises for this statistic, they're very distorted this year. Many a Wednesday, we consult Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors.
It's not really important this year because it's such an abnormal comparison when you think about where we were last summer.
That said, if you are a seller of a house right now in many parts of the country, you're doing the evil villain self-satisfied laugh. If you are looking for a place to live, there's not a lot out there to buy.
We're going to see new home sales in a few minutes, but the street is tempered on expectations, not because there isn't a desire for new homes, but because there's a lack of supply. Builders just weren't out building last year, but with COVID, there is an increased demand for housing, and now we're seeing that pressure build up in the pipeline.
Susan Schmidt at Aviva Investors, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I mentioned the chortling of sellers, but for buyers, this can be very hard. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
29-year-old Jimmy Johnson and his boyfriend are trying to buy their first home in San Antonio. They looked at a new townhouse, but construction costs are going up, and the builder got in touch.
He's like, I just want to make you aware of this. Our base price has gone up about $30,000.
Beyond their price range of $300,000 to $350,000. Now they're looking at recently built and renovated houses.
Something will go on the market, 10 people will put offers on it, so that's been making us a little bit anxious.
One thing that could help buyers, says Christopher Mayer at Columbia Business School.
The difficulty and expense of building may require some effort by the federal government
to loosen up zoning and land use laws. Jessica Louts at the National Association of Realtors sees some promise in redevelopment.
Retrofitting an older vacant motel or hotel lofts transformed into residential properties.
And she says there are still affordable cities to consider, like Boise, Columbus, and Nashville. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Centers for Disease Control reportedly will extend the pandemic hold on evictions one more month from the end of June until the end of July. The news agency Reuters has unnamed sources on this. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau estimates 6 million homeowners are behind on rent. Let's do the numbers. The Dow is down 31 points, not quite a tenth of a percent. The S&P 500 is up a single point. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. Crude oil is up 1.8% now, above $74 a barrel. And the Wall Street investment bank Morgan Stanley has a new policy. No COVID vaccination, no entry to its New York City area offices. Starting July the 12th, if an employee or contractor is not vaccinated, building access will be cut off, according to the Financial Times. They're going to rely on the honor system for people to say if they're vaxxed or not, clients and other visitors as well. Rival Goldman Sachs already insists that its people report their vaccine status, but the unvaccinated can still come if they mask up and keep apart. Half of states have now decided to opt out of an extra federal $300 a week in unemployment benefits. Governors say they're trying to help businesses that don't pay enough to compete with government benefits to fill 9 million job openings. But as Blake Farmer reports from WPLN in Nashville, jobs are not all that potential workers say they need.
In Tennessee alone, there are 250,000 jobs open.
I mean, what are the jobs?
In early June, Miriam Randolph of Nashville was laid off. It had already been a rough year with an extended furlough. She worked in the corporate headquarters for a restaurant chain that decided to cut expenses by outsourcing the accounting department.
I'm not going to go to and work a fast food job. I mean, I've been in accounting for a decade now.
The extra $300 a week gave her some real breathing room. With the state and federal money, it's $2,400 a month. That at least covered her mortgage and her toddler's daycare. Randolph says it's an especially tough time to juggle mothering three kids and making a paycheck.
I'm a little hesitant about having to go to another job and still handling just the fallout of COVID.
But state leaders are increasingly impatient with unemployed people taking their time, especially self-employed or gig workers who usually don't qualify for benefits. In Tennessee, they represent nearly two-thirds of those getting weekly checks. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee says everyone should be able to find a good fit.
In many cases, the job openings match with the job skills of the unemployed, and that's part of what we use to make our decision going forward.
Still, researchers at banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase say the decision is more political than based on economics. It's mostly Republican governors cutting off the federal spigot. During the pandemic, the country has expanded unemployment's role. Marianne Wanamaker, who was on President Trump's Council of Economic Advisers, says it served more as an uncertainty benefit.
It's helping you get from a time period where everything seems uncertain to some point in the future where we have more certainty about what our working and living conditions are going to look like.
The extra $300 a week is scheduled to run out nationwide in September. A few months early won't make a big dent in the labor shortage, Wanamaker says, but it will send a signal that these states are eager to please businesses. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And a J.P. Morgan survey of its big dog institutional investors at a conference finds only about 1 in 10 of those institutional investors are interested in putting client money into cryptocurrencies. Nearly half agreed with the statement that cryptocurrency investments are, quote, rat poison, or that it's a fad that'll fade. Now, that's a reference to the line used by famed billionaire investor Warren Buffett, who calls digital currencies as an investment, quote, rat poison squared. Still, more of the pros are dabbling on their own account. 40% of them surveyed said they put some of their own money into cryptos like Bitcoin or Ethereum. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.